Monday nights, up late. Broadcasting from stolen land. Satellite skies. Satellite skies. Satellite skies. Highlighting DIY and autonomous politics, music, and subculture with a different theme each week.
Hello and welcome back on Writing Home. It's Saturday morning, 9 a.m. on my clock, and you've tuned in to Writing Home on Satellite Skies at 3CR 855 a.m. This and every following segment will be recorded on Wurundjeri Wyvern country. We pay our respects to the original owners of this land, the Wurundjeri Wyvern people, as well as their elders, past, present and emerging.
Be like water, my friend. You shall find a way around.
Shapeless, formless, like water, it can flow.
This is Madhvi on Writing Home. The song that you just heard was The Waves We Give by Beautiful Chorus. This episode is part of Summer Specials, where I bring you feminist readings from the Global South.
The sound of the tap sticks bring me back home where I'm protected, and I'm not alone.
Sunday, 26th of January, marks the Invasion Day, and 3CR's First Nations broadcast team will be bringing our annual Invasion Day broadcast to the airwaves between 9 a.m. and 4 p.m. We will be broadcasting live from Camp Sovereignty and throughout the day bringing you voices of the elders, truth-telling, critical discussions with grassroots activists, deadly music, and honouring warriors past and present in the struggle for land back, an end to the genocide, and a sovereign treaty. So keep it tuned to 3CR on Sunday, 26th of Jan, from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. Brr.
Poem About My Rights by June Jordan. Even tonight, and I need to take a walk and clear my head about this poem about why I can't go out without changing my clothes, my shoes, my body posture, my gender identity, my age, my status as a woman alone in the evening, alone on the streets, alone not being the point. The point being that I can't do what I want to do with my own body because I am the wrong sex, the wrong age, the wrong skin. And suppose it was not here in the city, but down on the beach, or far into the woods, and I wanted to go there by myself, thinking about God, or thinking about children, or thinking about the world, all of it disclosed by the stars and the silence. I could not go, and I could not think, and I could not stay there alone, as I need to be, alone. Because I can't do what I want to do with my own body. And who in the hell set things up like this? And in France, they say if the guy penetrates but does not ejaculate, then he did not rape me. And if after stabbing him, if after screams, if after begging the bastard, and if even after smashing a hammer to his head, if even after that, if he and his buddies fuck me after that, then I consented. And there was no rape. Because finally, you understand? Finally, they fucked me over because I was wrong. I was wrong again. To be me, being me, where I was wrong, to be who I am, which is exactly like South Africa, penetrating into Namibia, penetrating into Angola. And does that mean, how do you know if Pretoria ejaculates, what will the evidence look like? The proof of the monster jackboot ejaculation on black land? And if after Namibia, and if after Angola, and if after Zimbabwe, and if after all my kinsmen and women resist, even to self-immolation of the villages, and if after that we lose nevertheless, what will the big boys say? Will they claim my consent? Do you follow me? We are the wrong people, of the wrong skin, on the wrong continent. And what in the hell is everybody being reasonable about? And according to the Times this week, back in 1966, the CIA decided that they had this problem. And the problem was a man named Nkrumah. So they killed him. And before that, it was Patrice Lumumba. And before that, it was my father on the campus of my Ivy League school. And my father afraid to walk into the cafeteria because he said he was wrong. The wrong age, the wrong skin, the wrong gender identity. And he was paying my tuition. And before that, it was my father saying I was wrong. Saying that I should have been a boy because he wanted one. A boy. And that I should have been lighter skinned. And that I should have had straighter hair. And that I should not be so boy crazy. But instead, I should just be one. A boy. And before that, it was my mother bleeding plastic surgery for my nose and braces for my teeth and telling me to let the books loose, to let them loose, in other words. I am very familiar with the problems of the CIA and the problems of South Africa and the problems of ex-incorporation and the problems of white America in general and the problems of the teachers and the preachers and the FBI and the social workers and a particular mom and dad. I am very familiar with the problems because the problems turn out to be me. I am the history of rape. I am the history of the rejection of who I am. I am the history of the terrorized incarceration of myself. I am the history of battery assault and limitless armies against whatever I want to do with my mind and my body and my soul. And whether it's about walking out at night or whether it's about the love that I feel or whether it's about the sanctity of my vagina or the sanctity of my national boundaries or the sanctity of my leaders or the sanctity of each and every desire that I know from my personal and idiosyncratic and indisputably single and singular heart, I have been raped. Because I have been the wrong sex, the wrong age, the wrong skin, the wrong nose, the wrong hair, the wrong need, the wrong dream, the wrong geographic, the wrong sartorial. I have been the meaning of rape. I have been the problem everyone seeks to eliminate by forced penetration, with or without the evidence of slime. And, but let this be unmistakable, this poem is not consent. I do not consent to my mother, to my father, to the teachers, to the FBI, to South Africa, to Bedford Stuy, to Park Avenue, to American Airlines, to the hardened idlers on the corners, to the sneaky creeps in cars. I am not wrong. Wrong is not my name. My name is my own. My own, my own. And I can't tell you who the hell set things up like this. But I can tell you that from now on, my resistance, my simple and daily and nightly self-determination may very well cost you your life.
Yeah, yeah. I say she be pretty natural woman. You know they got the marks in for your woman. She a like a little pretty thing that is mine. She no be gangsta, she's a woman of a kind. And whenever she go, I go follow her. She go, I go follow her. And whenever I go, I go carry her. I go carry her. She be the one.
She be
the one.
She be
the woman that I wanna spend my life.
That was She Be by Kuma and Mac HD. The poem before that was Poem About My Rights by June Jordan, which was published in Essence magazine in 1978. The poem is Jordan Combating Rape Culture by sharing her personal experience with the world. She also in a stream of consciousness way, labels her various identities as a woman, as a black woman, as an African and an African woman, as an African American woman, attributing the wrongness simply and directly to her existence. I love the lines, "I am not wrong. Wrong is not my name. My name is my own, my own, my own."
Born in God's fire, supernatural, boost my confidence. My cocaine, my heart desire, give me happiness. I know that I am, cause you give me dinner for the time it is. You're my true lover, my mommy worker.
That was Holy Ghost by Omar Lay. You are listening to Madhvi on Writing Home on Satellite Skies at 3CR 855 AM. The theme for today is matriarchy. I will be reading you a piece by Russell Means, Patriarchy, the Ultimate Conspiracy. Matriarchy, the Ultimate Solution. These last 6,000 years are a convenient lie. From religion to governments, we have lived under a patriarchy, with the leaders at the top of the proverbial pyramid and the rest of us underneath. This is a fact of life on our overpopulated earth. What is patriarchy, though? It is a system that both completely lacks and completely fears the feminine. Patriarchy is an imbalanced, fear-based, warlike, and truly insane structure, because only a patriarchy is on top, obsessed with control, and completely inhumane to everything below. What it fears, it wants to control. What it can't control, it wants to terrorize and destroy. Within this strict system, there is no true freedom. What then is the solution to this problem? The answer is to simply return to a matriarchy based on the feminine. A matriarchy actually represents the origins of individual liberty through representative government. Hello, my relatives. I thank the host, the Karna Nation, for welcoming me to this holy land. I am Lakota. I do not subscribe to the invaders' time frames, so it would be irrelevant if she went like this to me. What I have to say is what I have to say. I know among indigenous people worldwide, we come from oral traditions and we honor those oral traditions without the invaders' timepieces. I have seen that happen in the invaders' territories that he has robbed us of when he invited some of our elders. International linguists have ascertained that the indigenous people of the world have the most expressive languages on earth. So just by language alone, we are the oldest people on earth. When we have this kind of beauty in our hearts and our minds, then you don't have to have scholarly presentations on who is the uncivilized. I was brought up by these elderly people to pity the invader because he's like a spoiled child. When I was young, I didn't want to pity. I wanted to do to him what he's doing to my people, but my elders, especially my uncle, taught me differently. He spoke broken English, so you know, he just did it the best way he could. He always told me, "You have to pity the white man because he is like a child, a spoiled child, and his language is proof." The English language, as ascertained by his linguists, is the last language on earth. It is the least expressive. Anyone here who knows another language knows you cannot adequately translate it into English. No language on earth can you adequately translate into English. That's how uncivilized they are. And they call themselves civilized. And yet, they haven't come out of the cave, these invaders. You want to decolonize yourself? They are not white people. Besides, if you take a closer look, they are pink. But irrespective of color, they are invaders. They are not colonists. They are invaders. I haven't any patience with the invader. So if you're going to decolonize your mind, start calling them that. Imagine what that does in your own psyche by calling them the invader. Now those of you who have the invaders for ancestors or maybe a mother or father or wife or husband, I feel sorry for you, but they are invaders. Pure and simple. That's it. We teach our children to say invaders. That gives them a sense of spirit because it's our children who come first along with the land. You can't separate the children from the land. Once you separate the children from the land, you're a quisling. It's your responsibility to make sure your children get back to the land to get in rhythm with her once again. Among my people, we call her grandmother. Our grandmother, the earth. Now understand our prophecies and the teachings of our grandmother earth and all her children who are our relatives, and we know that. The rock is a relative. The rocks have a lot of power and they have a lot of means of communication. We know this in some of our ceremonies where the rocks talk to us. I am very fortunate that in my country, in my sacred land, I have found the way to be free. Even among my own dysfunctional people, they are dysfunctional because of the invader. I tell my people, I was thrown away by my parents to the invader schools. The government stole my great-grandparents and my grandparents and my parents and forced them into their schools. We should never have allowed that because there are indigenous people around the world that haven't allowed their children to be stolen. But every one of our children that are in these invader schools, we are throwing them away. We need to control our teachings through them. I wish I didn't know how to read and write because my heart would be even more pure than it is now. I remember sitting in the homes of these old people. That's what I did even after I was in the American Indian movement. I went to their homes and they came to my home and all they did was talk and I listened. So I started looking closer at the invader and all of a sudden it became very simple. First of all, his language. His language had nothing to do with being a human being. Nothing. He doesn't know how to say Mother Earth in his own language. Instead, he calls it land or earth or dirt or desert or jungle and thinks that everything is supposed to be used. Even our chromosomes in our blood are to be used for money. This is insanity. And we send our children to the invader schools to get these fancy degrees. What for? Patriarchy. Take a close look at these uncivilized invaders. Every one of their structures is pyramidal. They are pyramids with the male on top. Their spirituality is that way. His education, his government, his families are based upon the pyramid structure with the man on top. Guess what happens when you're all alone and you're on top? You start looking around at all those people down there. They're going to knock me off because they want to be on top. So he has fear. Fear of being displaced. If you have fear, you want to control. This is the invader. He's got to control everything. He's got to control his family. He's got to control his religion, his spirituality. He's got to control everything because he's afraid and we are worried about it. It's beyond me when I think about his mentality. He calls us the primitive. Well, I am a born again primitive. I am a born again primitive. I don't want to be civilized. I'm sorry. Look at the male out there, the invader. He still believes that the only way you settle a misunderstanding is with the club. With his civilization, all his education, he still has a caveman mentality on human relationships. But take another look at that pyramid. It depends on production. His religion demands production. His economics demands production. His education, everything. All those pyramids demand production, which means profit. But it also means he has to overpopulate continuously. Our grandmother, the earth, is only so big. On this pyramid, he has to make himself a god to justify his very existence at the top of the pyramid. Now he's going into space. Good. I hope he succeeds. Finally, I root for every rocket. I don't want anything to go wrong. That's his system and we are impressed by it. We hope he returns to his planet. It is a long process. One of the wisest things we did as leaders of the American Indian movement was back in 1970. We sat in a hotel room in the city of Minneapolis, Minnesota, and we asked ourselves, who are we? What are we? Why are we? And where are we going? We looked at one another and said, the only thing to do is to go back home and find out. So we did that, and that's when I became a born-again primitive. Besides, I know where the word comes from. Primitive from prime, as in first. This is why we should all be proud to be primitive. We need to be shouting it to the highest rafters. Yes, we are the first.
Got it.
Patriarchy, the Ultimate Conspiracy. Matriarchy, the Ultimate Solution. The Patriarch. What gives this man the right? You know, he's the last civilization on earth to learn to read, and yet he's named everything. He's named everything. North and south, east and west. And this is how primitive he is. He measures time by one little orb hanging in space, and it's revolving around another orb hanging in space, the sun. That's it. That is his explanation of the universe and time. Whereas we indigenous people measure time by the woman, the lunar calendar. The whole universe travels in a circle, and it takes 280 days, the same period of gestation with the human female. Wow! That is why I'm a born-again primitive. On top of that, how can any woman go for Christianity when this God created everything except you? Even two worms, everything was created male and female except Adam. And when Adam was going around in the Garden of Eden watching all this fornication going on, and he says, "Hey God, what about me?" "Oh yeah, well, let's see, you've got a spare part." He takes his extra rib and makes a woman. She doesn't even get original creation. She's a spare part from a man. So I don't see how women go for that story. You're nothing but a spare part in the eyes of God. No wonder he went to Mary. At any rate, that's patriarchy. You've got to be a god on top of the pyramid if you are a male. In matriarchy, let's look at the female. She lives longer than men. She's stronger than men. She can stand more pain than a man. And she has more endurance than a man. And she's a mother, the creator of life. Wow, wow, wow. That's holy. That's sacred. Everyone has a mother. Everyone. Not everyone has a father. But you have a mother and a grandmother. And that's why we follow the lineage of we primitives. The lineage of mother. They live longer. Among my people, we go to where the woman's from, because we live a shorter life. Therefore, when we leave this earth, we want our wife and children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren to be among her friends and relatives. It makes for an easier transition and a stronger family unit. We measure our relatives and our relations through the woman, through all the women, even the in-laws, so that incest at any and every level is impossible. Now, matriarchy, how come we didn't overpopulate Adelaide? How come we didn't overpopulate the Sydney area? How come we didn't overpopulate anywhere in the world? It's because of our rhythm with our grandmother, the earth, and the way that we can get along with human relationships. You know, I have yet to run across any indigenous language on this earth, and I've been on every continent on earth except Antarctica. And I don't plan to go there. There are invaders over there. I've yet to encounter any indigenous language that has the word war or warrior in it. If you don't have the word, you do not have the concept. We don't have the word property. I know in my culture, as well as most indigenous cultures, when you admire something that belongs to another person, they will give it to you. By giving away, you will make sure that the person is not in want. That also holds true as to why the first thing indigenous people do is feed you. They are worried about you. Matriarchy. Let's look at our children. We believe that our children are the most important individuals on earth. In order for them to be the most important individuals on earth, they have to be treated that way. Now, the white man has a fable in his Bible that we lived by and he refuses to acknowledge. It's the story of Cain and Abel. If you have children too close together, those children are going to compete for the love of their mother and their father. They're going to develop jealousy and envy. We knew that. We knew that even with twins. So if they are the most important individuals on earth, they have to be treated as such. It's like when I was growing up, my parents were forced into boarding schools and into Christian thinking. When I walked into a room, the grown-ups are talking, be quiet. Among traditional people, when the child walks into the room, all the adults become quiet and turn to the individual, because you're the most important thing on earth. Now, when you grow up with that feeling and walk into a room and everybody pays attention to you, you don't grow up with a great big ego. You grow up with self-confidence and love. This is why indigenous people rarely had more than 2 children. When the female gave birth, she wanted to be at the zenith of her strength. Remember this. This is us as primitive peoples. We didn't have scientific labs to prove these, but these young women had strength and they wanted to pass that on to their baby. Well, they didn't have a second one right away because that one was the center of the universe. However, at 6 years of age, every culture, patriarchal or matriarchal, knows that the child is ready to leave the side of its mother. And that's when responsibility and discipline are introduced in the child's life. When I would go out to the lagoon, it is very tropical. I would see these 6, 7, 8-year-old children on what I would call surfboards. They call them canoes. I could not balance on them. I had to get on all fours and very, very cautiously get to my place where I'm supposed to sit down. There were these 6-year-olds out there going across with a big old pole pushing the canoe on their own. Wow! Children, they know responsibility at an early age. They're trusted at an early age. I got to see it. I got to see people who did not know Spanish or English and never been to a white man's school. I got to see it. What a great experience. Matriarchy in action. When you think of your child as the center of the universe and you build an entire culture based on that, wow. No wonder we didn't have psychiatrists or psychologists or treatment centers. So you see, matriarchy is what we need to return to. There is one another thing we are forgetting. All of our relatives that are born from our grandmother, the earth, and what they have to teach us, we are forgetting about natural law. All of a sudden, education, the invader's education, becomes important because we need that education to combat the oppressor. Bullshit. The American Indian movement's largest successes came because of what we were taught by our elders. Self-dignity, self-pride, and a recognition of what our grandmother, the earth, is saying. Nobody in the patriarchal world is listening to her. She's speaking loud and clear. I don't know how much louder she needs to get. All I know is I am on grandmother, the earth's side. I came here when these storms were going through here and all kind of floods throughout southeastern Australia. Is anyone listening? When we are free people out on the land, we know where to live. Not in places that get flooded. We understand the natural course of life. She is speaking loud and clear, and I have found out again why I have become a born-again primitive. It is because I've learned to communicate with natural law. Natural law is what we indigenous people live by. If you listen to the earth, you know. In our language, we had names for 52 clouds. The 52 types of clouds that are endemic to the northern plains, which the invader calls the United States. Actually, in the whole plains area, it's the central plains if you look at North America, without those imaginary lines. That's another thing, imaginary lines that define property. It blows me away, the whole concept of patriarchy. The natural laws of those 52 clouds are when they form with the wind, we can predict the weather up to 2 days, whereas the scientists on the Weather Channel make a guess up to 12 hours and they still can't be sure even with all their signs. Again, that's why I'm a born again primitive.
What's that up in the clouds? And now you're talking way too loud. Yidda, 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 yidda. Yidda, 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 yidda. Warm me up, warm me up.
That was Nagana Nyunyi by Tilly Jala Thomas. And before that, I played Kiridara, Women's Song by Kardijala Kiridara. You are listening to Madhvi on Writing Home. I'm reading Patriarchy, the Ultimate Conspiracy, Matriarchy, the Ultimate Solution by Russell Means. Patriarchy and matriarchy, the twain, shall never meet. We have work to do for our children and our grandmother, the earth. So when you're in rhythm with grandmother earth, she has a lot to teach you and you don't need TV. That is matriarchy and patriarchy in a nutshell. I love being a part of a matriarchal marriage and a matriarchal world. Those were some excerpts from Russell Means' speech. Russell Means was instrumental in 1977 in the drafting of the Declaration of Human Rights of Indigenous Peoples, which was presented to the UN Commission on Human Rights in Geneva, Switzerland. He is a Lakota elder, activist, and writer. Next, I'll be reading from The Way into an Egalitarian Society, Principles of a Matriarchal Politics by Dr. Heidi Geutner-Ebendroth. Modern matriarchal research is not some exotic fringe exercise, but the very opposite. It brings to light a very relevant body of knowledge about non-patriarchal, basically egalitarian, economic, social, political, and cultural patterns that we urgently need to consider now in this last globally destructive phase of patriarchy. Matriarchies throughout history, as well as in those that still exist today, are not societies where women rule, which is the common misguided view. Rather, matriarchies have managed to stay in existence over millennia without hierarchies and without domination. They have maintained themselves without using war games, that is, without establishing armies for organized killing. violence against women and children is virtually unknown to them, whereas patriarchal societies worldwide are overwhelmed by it. These facts and insights have encouraged me to continue my work over these decades, in spite of the animosity that has constantly been directed towards me. The results of this research have prompted me to view the knowledge of matriarchal patterns as something of immense importance for us today and for our future. Matriarchies are not utopian. They have been present for long periods during our human history, and they are lived in practical undertakings that belong to the indispensable cultural knowledge of humanity. These societies contain very concrete, detailed ways of organizing life in accordance with people's needs. These methods are non-violent, peaceful, and in the word, human. These organizing principles are by no means naive or simplistically natural, but represent a conscious cultural creation. To make this clearer, I will give a short introduction to matriarchal organizational patterns at the level of economics, society, politics, spirituality, and culture. Further, Dr. Heidi lays down how matriarchal societies have been organized, and it is a thorough research on the organizational patterns that were well thought, well implemented, were concrete and detailed, founded on a reciprocity economics. So matriarchal societies were non-hierarchical, horizontal societies of matrilineal kinship. Women's needs have been the decisive factor for matriarchal societies, as these needs relate to children, who are the future of humanity. Men's desire of power and dominion are not the priority, unlike matriarchy. When it comes to politics, matriarchal societies are egalitarian societies of consensus. To quote, on the political level, in traditional matriarchal societies, the process of decision-making is also organized along kinship lines. The decision-making process starts in the individual clan house. Matters that concern the clan house are decided upon by the women and men in a consensus process. This means the process continues until they reach unanimity. The same applies to decisions concerning the whole village. After seeking advice in the clan houses, the clan delegates meet together in the village assembly. These delegates do not make decisions themselves. They simply communicate the decisions that have been made in their clan houses. They maintain the communication system of the village and move back and forth between the assembly and the clan houses until the whole village reaches consensus. The same applies to the regional level. So the discussion goes on until there is a consensus. The consensus principle is the foundation for building new matriarchal communities. It prevents splinter groups, cliques, or individuals from dominating the group. It brings about a balance between the genders and between the generations. In other words, the goal isn't like the idea of a big nation state or a superpower, rather the self-sufficiency of every clan, connecting clan on a local and regional level. I'm saying level, but I think the limits of English, the invaders' language. Further, Dr. Heidi writes, on the spiritual and cultural level, traditional matriarchal societies do not have religions based on a god who is invisible, untouchable, and incomprehensible, but omnipotent, and in contrast to whom the world is devalued as dead matter. In matriarchy, divinity is immanent, for the whole world is regarded as divine, as feminine divine. In such a culture, everything is spiritual, diversity is wealth, there is no separation between sacred and secular. While matriarchy does not mean the opposite of patriarchy, because it doesn't manifest as patriarchy manifests, or this binary of man and woman. But matriarchy does mean, in the beginning, the mothers. And there is significance given to the mother's line. The gender relationships are also organized thoughtfully. Each gender has its own sphere of action, its own tasks and responsibilities, and its special dignity or honor. Quoting Dr. Heidi, just as the battle of the sexes is unknown in matriarchal societies, so is the generation gap. Many problems of the Western world are based in the atomizing of society, which leads people to adopt extreme forms of individualism, loneliness, and social neglect. This way of life does not have a future. Everyone has received some care as a child. Therefore, it is a principle of balance that all people, in turn, should also care for children. The nuclear family burdens individual biological mothers and fathers with the whole responsibility of raising the children. When the family structure disappears, this burden will disappear along with it. At the same time, there can be a general dissolution of the patriarchal role assignments, in which it is the woman who has to provide care for everybody else. In many societies today, women are not only honored for the service, but are despised because it is unpaid work. For nurturing behavior is the order of the day. This is why the foundation of the clan is based on the mothers. Even so, women are not tied down to these supposedly feminine qualities and stuck back into a niche. All the people are involved in raising the children. All are thus enabled to experience positive social and emotional development. And everyone can have the opportunity to develop professional skills and other interests. At the same time, the children can be wonderfully integrated into the group because of the connections with all their different care providers. Apologies, listeners, we're running out of time. I will be adding these readings on Satellite Sky's Instagram bio for everyone to read, because these readings are really important. But yeah, just going to finish up with the inner economy of the matriarchal clans. All goods acquired by clan members are given to the women of the clan. So women, and specifically the eldest women of the clan, the matriarchs, hold all the goods in their hands. They are responsible for the sustenance and protection of all clan members. The women either work the land themselves or organize how the work is to be done. The fruits of the fields and the milk of the flocks as well are given to them. Traditionally, matriarchal communities existed without money, as there was no need for it. The matriarchs, as the persons in whom the highest degree of trust is placed, redistribute everything justly and equitably among the members of the clan. I think as we are reading these articles, we need to understand the limits of English as this colonial language and how terms speak differently when we are talking about these value systems. Just to quote, when we talk about motherliness, that isn't in the way we interpret motherliness or gender roles in today's time or the invaders' time. The principle, quoting Dr. Heidi, the principle of motherliness is the opposite, where altruism reigns and the well-being of all is at the heart of the system. If a man from a matriarchal society desires to acquire status among his peers or even to become a representative of the clan to the outside world, the criterion is that he must be like a good mother. Ideas like economy, reciprocity, age, generations, old, new, elderly, young, child, these feel and look like very different in matriarchal societies or societies that have values other than the invaders' values, which I absolutely find so confusing because English as a language creates a lot of barriers for people who do not feel and think in English. So That's always been a framework. But yeah, these articles really shaped, and are shaping more of an understanding, more of this nuanced, complex understanding. Like, I say nuanced, but, you know, that word just doesn't feel enough. Yeah, it's very sensory. Anyway, thank you everyone for listening. It's been amazing to share all these readings with you. I will be adding all the readings on Satellite Sky's bio. Please take your time with them. And if you have any feedback, any reviews, feel free to write on our Instagram, Satellite Skies, and I will get back to you. But I'll see you next Saturday, 9 a.m. Thank you so much for listening.
You've been listening to a 3CR podcast produced in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.